Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, on Tuesday, the 3rd of February, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Please be very welcome to AAK's Investor Relation quarterly conf call and the release of our Q4 2014 report. I'm sitting in a winterish Malmö, southern Sweden, with a grey sky but some sunshine and a couple of half an inch of snow or something like that. Quite pleasant. And we are here happy to announce the results. And the agenda follow basically what you're all very used to. Some high-level overview. Then our CFO, Fredrik Nilsson, will walk you through some of the details, and then I will try to give you some commercial operational touch. And then by the end, we will have ample time for some Q&A, I believe. So I propose we get started. I'm on page 3 now in your little PowerPoint pack, and we are very happy to announce another very good quarter. That has been achieved with some good results in certain sectors that we have been hoping for since some time. We saw a good trend in Q3, confirmed in Q4, and that has compensated some material headwind in some other areas, and you will have those details as we talk. High level volume growth 9%, but most of that organic. And those of you, most of you who know AAK, we all learn very early to not look volume, to look sales and profit. But the sales value in AAK swings up and down with the raw material price, so we always comment on volume also. Organic 1%, which given certain events and certain parts of the world and certain segments that where we are strong, is a good number. 9% all in all. Sales up 13%, partly driven by acquisitions, partly driven by the stronger US dollar, but also a counter effect on lower raw material prices. EBIT up 5%. Excluding acquisition cost and non-recurring items, up more if we include the profit from the sales of our Binol activity. EBIT per kilo, as expected, down a bit due to acquisitions where we are building for the future, so not too concerning. Earnings per share up 30%, which is, we must admit, with some material headwind. So real improvement is good, but 30% is beyond the underlying improvement. And net debt, stable evolution and according to plans. If we look upon the full year number, we have a volume growth of 5%, a sales improvement of 8% up to 17.8 billion Swedish krona. EBIT is up 10%, EBIT per kilo up 6%, earnings per share up 18%, and net debt stable evolution. So all this is good news, and also, on the other hand, in line with expectations. We had a board meeting yesterday. Management proposed to the board, and the board accepted and will propose to the General Assembly a dividend of 6.75 Swedish krona per share, which is up from last year's 6%. So that's also in line with the positive trends we are seeing. That's the high-level summary. I now propose to hand over the microphone to Fredrik Nilsson, our CFO, who will walk you through some more detailed numbers, and then I will be back with some commercial comments to our certain activities. So, Mr. Nilsson, how can you please develop a bit further on this?
Thanks, Arne. As Arne said, the fourth quarter was again a quarter with a high and solid operating profit. We saw an improvement quarter versus quarter, Q4 versus Q4 of 5%. Operating profit reached 343 in the quarter compared to 328 for the corresponding quarter. We have also a positive FX impact in the quarter of 21 million. Operating profit per kilo amounted to  0.74, a small decline compared to last year, but that was according to previous communicated because there is a dilutive impact from the recent acquisitions in Belgium and Colombia, the challenges we have in China with our infant nutrition, and also an exceptional volume growth in the commodity products in food ingredients. But I think it's also worthwhile to mention, if you adjust for the dilutive impact from the recent acquisitions, operating profit per kilo improved actually in the quarter. If we then look at operating profit by business area, food ingredients improved by 2 million to 220 million. But I also think food ingredients reported a very stable quarter, but a very mixed picture in the business area. The dairy business continued to develop very nicely with a high single-digit growth. Our Akonino business continued to develop very well, which is part of our infant nutrition. The infant business, which is also part of our infant business, continued to struggle in China. And the new tax we have seen over the last quarters in Mexico continued to impact negatively in the quarter. Chocolate and confectionery fats continued to improve and improved by 11% in the quarter, and the operating profit reached 128 compared to 115. CB continued to develop very nicely with double-digit growth. On the other hand, we start also to see worsening market conditions in Russia and Ukraine. Technical products and feed improved by 1 million to 25 million in the quarter. If we then turn to page six and look at the financial summary, as Arne said, volume improved by 9% in the quarter and organically 1%. If we then look at it from a business area point of view, we have organic growth by 2% for both food ingredients and chocolate and confectionery fats in the quarter. Operating profit, the trend continues upwards with a 5% improvement in the quarter. And if then look at operating profit per kilo, as I said, we have a negative trend in the quarter on operating profit per kilo, but that's related to the recent acquisition of Belgium and Colombia, which has diluted operating profit. If we then turn to page seven and look at the cash flow, we have a strong EBITDA in the quarter. It was an improvement by 47 million. Then you will see that we have a big non-cash items in the fourth quarter of 54 million, and that's a change in our pension provision without any cash flow impact. Change in working capital plus 84 million in the quarter. And particularly the cash flow from the inventory was really strong. You know that we have commented upon that we have had too high inventory levels over the recent quarters. I will now say that we are back on track, that we have normalized the inventory levels in the group. So actually, even if we are plus 84 million in change in working capital, the cash flow from inventory was higher than 200 million SEK in the quarter, and then it was partly offset by lower payables. Reported cash flow in the quarter, minus 47, looks low, but then you should have in mind that this is a net of the sale of Binol, and and the underlying regular CapEx and the greenfield projects. So the cash flow has been on a more normal level without the positive cash flow from the sale of Vinnolla. Then if we look at the full year cash flow, I think it's also worthwhile to reflect a little bit upon if you put 2014 and 2013 together and look at the cash flow conversion rate. If you look at 2013 and 2014, we had actually managed to convert 64% into cash flow of the EBITDA. I think a normal level should be around 70 million. And with more, I would say, the lower raw material prices, we should be able to go up to 70% in cash conversion rate. If we then turn to page 8 and look at working capital days, the trend is going in the wrong direction, as you can see. It's continued to increase with 2 days. But here we should have in mind that we are measuring this on a rolling 12-month basis. So even if we have a positive cash flow in the fourth quarter, it will take some time until we start to see the improvement coming through in working capital days. If we look at page 9 and look at the raw material prices, the raw material prices, they are now back to the price levels we have in 2009. And a gentle reminder, when you look into our cash flow and also when you look from a sales point of view, but from a working capital point of view, 10% change in all raw material price will have an impact of 250 million SEK, what with a time like 6 to 9 months. So we expect that we should have a positive cash flow from lower raw material prices during the first 6 months. If we then look at page 10 and return on capital employed, we saw a positive trend for the first quarter in 2014, in Q4, and the reason for that was an improvement in EBIT, and we managed to reduce our working capital. So return on capital end of Q4 2014 was 14.5%. If we then look at rolling 12 months, we ended the year at 16%. And the reason for the decline you have seen during the year is, of course, the high working capital we had in Q1 to Q3. We have made acquisitions during the year, and we have also started to get the impact from the greenfield projects, and all the three has impacted negatively. And then as we said at the Capital Market Day in November, we should start to see an improved return on capital employed again in 2016, when the greenfield projects are up and running. By that, I will now leave the microphone back to Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. Very good. If we further comment on our strong balance sheet, I often get the question about M&A. So despite a high CapEx activity with our greenfield factories in Brazil and China, we judge that we stand with a strong balance sheet. However, as we always say in Swenglish, our money is not burning in our pockets. So that's all I can say on M&A today. If we look upon page 11, we try to give some commercial flavor to our activities, and dividing on food ingredients, chocolate confectionery fats, and our technical products and feed business. And then we divide the world in Nordics, Western Europe, U.K., U.S.A., Central Eastern Europe, old previously called CIS, Asia, and Latin America. And in our historical home turf, the Nordics, we are seeing some really good trends in our business. It is, of course, not a very big part of total AAK, but if you want to win the league, you need to win the home games, and that's why we pay some attention to this. And here we see good development, more or less across board. Western Europe, we see good development in the CCF business, mainly driven by CBE and our positions in food ingredients, I would more characterize as flat. U.K., which is mainly an FI activity, also basically flat, and one could argue that with flat here, we are gaining market share a little bit. U.S., flat to nearly positive green. I believe we see some good development and some good underlying trends in the U.S., and I am personally convinced we are gaining market shares with our, particularly with our health claims. It's not so much the cost reduction, it's more the no trans, low fat message that is appealing in many markets, but I would tend to say particularly in the U.S. Central Eastern Europe, flat. Flat here means gaining market share, I am personally convinced. Some of these countries have been exporting food products to Russia, and even if our products are not on the famous lists, the more difficult economical situation in Russia is influencing this in some negative way. We have, however, succeeded to keep the business flat and gain market share to some extent. Then mentioning Russia, we are coming to the civil war in Ukraine and the difficult economical situation in Russia, and also the materially weakened Russian ruble. Russia and Ukraine is not a very big part of the AAK business, but it's not an insignificant part of the business either. We have talked about this in every conf call during last year. We also talked about it at the Capital Market Day. The headwind from this was manageable and in Q1, 2, and 3. It has proven to be manageable also in Q4, so please, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to notice that this good performance you see from AAK is despite a materially worsening business situation, particularly speaking about Russia. We are not on the famous lists, so that's good for us, but the economical climate and the demand, and coupled with a dramatically weakened ruble, we have here absorbed some material headwind. Then earlier this morning, I got the question, what do we believe about this going forward? And I believe there are many people more experts in political developments of this sort. So food ingredients flat in CIS and CCF material headwind and down. Asia, food ingredients is relatively small. Here we see some progress on bakery and dairy fat alternatives. On the other hand, infant nutrition has continued to be very difficult in China, as now unfortunately expected. Chocolate confectionery fats, though, very strong in Asia and very promising going forward. And all of this is obtained without having a local factory. So our optimism, once our factory is up and running, is further reinforced. Latin America, where Mexico and Central America is a large part of AAK, continue to struggle because the additional tax on high-caloric, industrially produced indulgence products. That goes for CCF in Mexico also, but net-net in CCF is a strong green caused by very good development in other parts of Latin America. So that's a very mixed bag, with the headwind in Ukraine and Russia, with the headwind in some of our infant nutrition products, particularly the joint venture Advanced Lipids, and the headwind in Mexico, but strong development in dairy fat alternatives and very strong development in CCF and particularly CBE. That's the high-level picture. We go into the details. Food ingredients, limited improvement. The acquisitions are developing according to plans, both the previous CSM oils and fats business in Belgium and Benelux and our Colombia business, which looks really promising for 2015. But they dilute the EBIT per kilo, and then, as just mentioned, our Aquanino products in infant nutrition have developed very nicely, but the Advanced Lipids joint venture has continued to struggle. And here we also ask you to note that this business had a fantastic Q1 2014 and then went into those repeated disappointments. Volume growth, all in all, 14%, but very driven by the acquisitions. And for comparable units, organic growth 2%. That leads us to page 13, where we need to comment. You see here, surprisingly, commodity volume up 12%. This is not a change in our strategy. This is not that our strategy is not working. It is simply that we had a chance to, in a pragmatic way, enter into one or two large contracts with acceptable profitability. And then, of course, we seized that opportunity. If you see double-digit growth on commodities every quarter here during 2015, then it's time to ask questions. But I do not expect double-digit green numbers on commodity going forward. And again, underlying on speciality and semi-speciality adjusted for the headwinds we mentioned, there is underlying a good development. Moving then to page 14, I think Fredrik has commented all on this. He has also commented that operating profit per kilo, if we take away the dilutive acquisitions, would be materially more interesting. Then over to CCF, profit growth 11%. Despite the very material headwind on Russian volumes, Ukrainian volumes, and Russian ruble. So this is the net result of all of that. Operating profit per kilo further up, and volume growth net-net up 2%. We've continued competitive pressure on the low-end semi-speciality products, but on the other hand, double-digit growth on CBE. Page 16, operating profit and profit per kilo. Nothing further to add on that, but I think an important comment on page 17. Earlier this morning, we had a question on the cocoa butter price, which a few days ago was $6,500 on the 6 months forward, how we looked upon that. And the journalist was surprised maybe when I said that this is good. This is much better than $8,000. We are still materially higher than a quote-quote historically normal level of $4,000 to $5,000. We're not here to reveal our price list on CBE, but you've heard us say previously that when the cocoa butter was really low price, low cost, then we sold 80% of our CBE more expensive than cocoa butter. So with our normal price picture on CBE, this is a real win-win for everybody. There is a good value proposition for our customer in terms of reduced cost, but also other good functional benefits, and it's a very profitable business for AAK. And we always say, as long as the price is north of $4,000 or something like this, it's a good value proposition for everybody involved. So we are, from AAK side, very positive. $6,500 is better for our customers than $8,000, as long as, and we see this in very, very few countries, you do not produce the end product with CBE only. A too high cocoa butter price risk to give some negative volume price elasticity to our customers, and then we need to penetrate the market in rocket speed to compensate for that reduced volume that some of our customers risk to see if cocoa butter stayed at $8,000. So $6,500 is for AAK better than $8,000. And both on cocoa butter and on our own important raw materials, may it be canola, may it be rapeseed, may it be soya, may it be palm oil, may it be sunflower, prices are today relatively low. We need to go back to 2009, 2010 to find these kind of prices. That's good for us. It's good for our customers. It's good for the end consumer. It's good for our cash flow. It's good for our working capital. And it's also good because it makes the differential in cost value proposition between our solution and the traditional solution larger. And what is also good is that we do not see any material pressure up. Things like this is extremely difficult to predict. We know the empirical statistical results from the experts are probably around 50-50 in predicting capability, in predicting where raw materials might be heading. But in the short term, we see very little pressure upwards on the raw materials. So all that is very good for us. Page 18, technical products and feed, up 4%. Please note, given that Binol was a good business, but it was not material in all of AAK, we have not restated the historical numbers. However, for TPF, you could say that Binol was material. So a good underlying development here, given that this is excluding Binol, but comparing with the previous year, including Binol. So approaching the Q&A session, but a few slides to go. For 2015, we expect dairy fat alternatives to continue to develop nicely. We expect the Mexican food tax is, of course, still there on high-caloric industrially produced, particularly indulgence products. But we should, going into 2015, see different year-to-year comparison numbers. On infant nutrition, we expect our Aconinos to continue to develop nicely, and our infat advanced lipids joint venture business will be faced with a very, very, very difficult Q1 comparison. But sooner or later, long term, we of course believe in this business too. CCF, we believe it 2015 will be a good year for CCF. The phenomenal year-to-year comparisons we have seen Q1, Q2, Q3 2014 is not realistic to expect, but we expect a continued good development here. And TPF, we expect small positive evolution or flat. And please note that we have divested Binol. Actions, we continue, I believe, to have a high positive activity level in our company. The backbone for the execution of our strategy is our company program that we call Action. Action, spelled A-A-K-T-I-O-N. And it's a natural evolution of our previous AAK acceleration project. And I must say that all initiatives on the commercial side, on the innovation side, on the customer co-development side, and the operational execution initiatives around quality and service and productivity, we are on track. Finally, concluding remarks. Before concluding remarks, I want to go to page 23, Fredrik asked me to comment that our annual general assembly, annual general shareholders assembly is not on the financial calendar. It should have been, we apologize, and we want to make a pitch for that. May 5, 2 p.m. local time, CET, in beautiful, fantastic Malmö. So we want to wish as many of you as possible welcome to Malmö, May 5. It's normally a little bit of a festivity event with a good spirit and also an excellent opportunity to network, to exchange with AAK management and to try many of our products. So that's May 5. Please note. And then finally, before Q&A, concluding remarks. So with the risk of repeating myself, I believe the text is basically identical to what we have had now a number of quarters, but particularly for those not knowing us, we want to repeat that with our value propositions for health, no trans, low sat, no trans fatty acids and much lower saturated fats and reduced costs, coupled with a customer co-development and solutions approach. We continue to remain prudently optimistic for the future. And the main drivers are the underlying good development in food ingredients and tangible improvement in CCF, mainly driven by the CBE business, but also many other good products. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the one-way communication part of this conf call, and now we will be dependent here on our facilitator to switch into Q&A mode, and we have ample time for a few questions, if you so wish. So thank you very much for listening. And now Q&A, please.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line from Casper Blom from ABG Sundal Collier. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions from my side. First of all, looking at Russia and Ukraine, if possibly looking at those two countries as one, my question relates to how much worse can it get in that area, i.e. can you sort of hint how much your business is down compared to a year ago? Secondly, you are spending 65 million Swedish kroner on production optimization in Europe in this quarter. Maybe you can give a few comments on what you're actually doing and what you're expecting to get out of that. And finally, another place in the world, Mexico, and the tax increase that you saw there last year. Are there any signs of anything like that happening anywhere else in the world that could matter for AAK? Thank you.
Thank you, Casper. Good questions. As always, we will try to answer, and some we will, as always, refuse to disclose. We try, but we will not be fully able. So Russia, Ukraine, looking as one country, I think that is what we is maybe part of the problem, right? So no, we shouldn't be joking about sad things like that. Ukraine, first bullet point, used to export a lot to Russia. Ukraine, a number of chocolate factories were in eastern Ukraine, where there is a full-fledged, what we can understand, civil war going on. We even have at least one factory we used to supply to that no longer exists even. On the other hand, western Ukraine, that business, central and western Ukraine, that business goes on, and we have strong market positions, and demand is, of course, dampened to some extent, but the business goes on. So how much worse can it be? We want to be optimistic because we hope that this tragical situation for this suffering country will not get worse. Then Russia, with the ruble and with the dampened demand situation. I got the same question from a Swedish journalist, and I recommended him to talk to the Swedish foreign minister, who was probably more educated than us, to judge how much worse it can become in Russia. We hope that it will not become worse, of course. Can it become worse? I mean, you are as good to say that as we are. And the ruble, we have now different processes to handle that. But on the other hand, the weakened ruble makes the purchasing power weaker. So difficult to say. Again, it's not a very big part of AAK. It's now with 2014 and particularly Q4 2014 behind us, an even smaller part of AAK. So when we say we are prudently optimistic for the future, we do take into account that Russia and Ukraine will probably not be very good numbers in Q1 and Q2 either. Yes, you have noticed we have put money aside for further productivity projects across Europe. When that will yield and how much it will yield, that's difficult to say. If you study our numbers, and you also know other industrial activities subject to when you do this kind of projects, you are typically talking 6 to 18 months payback of such productivity initiative. Exactly when they will kick in, we cannot disclose. And then your third question, Mexico. Yeah, that's a very good question. Could other countries come with the idea to do something like this? Yes, and sometimes that can be good. If the risk to ruin my relation with all my Danish friends here just 20 kilometers from Malmö, when the Danes 2 or 3 years ago introduced their fat tax, AAK, we were ecstatic because the Danes decided to tax the dangerous saturated fats, and that was super good for AAK. The products we wanted to substitute became materially more expensive overnight, and our value proposition became even more appealing. And some other European countries started to study that approach. Unfortunately, the Danes took away that fat tax that I know, Casper, you are familiar with. And we haven't, because it was very difficult to collect, and it was very unlogical that neither meat nor dairy products were included. Some dairy was not included, meat was not included, butter was included. So we haven't seen more of that kind of saturated fat tax. The theory is that if you consume too much saturated fat, you will pull on the public health sector, and then you should contribute more proportionally. AAK, we were ecstatic. Unfortunately, that tax was eliminated. Mexico, different situation. It's the tax is on calories, so high sugar content is really the worst. This was driven by two factors, I believe, except strengthening the public financials. Mexico took over from US the number one position in the World Obesity League, and I believe a very traumatizing performance for many Mexicans to see themselves number one in that league. And second, on a more serious note, in Mexico, a bottle of soft drinks, sweetened soft drinks, I'm not mentioning brands or names here, but in general, was very often more expensive than a bottle of mineral water. And in a country where availability of drinkable tap water was limited, so underprivileged people were rather buying soft drinks than mineral water. And in a way, I can understand the government taking such a decision in such a situation. So long story short, we don't know about any such changes. And when they come, they can be good for AAK if they come, and they could be bad for our industry. So a long answer on an interesting question. Sorry for that.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Anne.
Thanks, Casper.
And your next question comes from the line from Bille Dahr from Danske Bank, Stockholm. Please ask your question.
Thank you. A couple of questions. On first, just could you give us an update on the infant nutrition business in China, sort of the recent market update, and how we should think about it as far as 2015 goes? I understand that comps will be tough for Q1, but is this generally a volume disruption or a pricing change that has happened?
Well, Bille, thank you for that question. I will circle around and not be totally precise. Infant nutrition, again, consists of our own Aconino products, more basic but high quality and high function blends, and then our even more advanced Infat product, which is a joint venture, Advanced Lipids, with Israeli company and Symotech. On that part of the business, the Chinese market is a big part of the business. We had a fantastic Q1 2014, and then we had very, very depressing Q2, 3, 4. And for a long time, we thought this was disruption because new regulation, and it partly was, definitively. Is it only disruption of regulation or not? We don't know yet. We don't believe it's a change in pricing. And at some point of time from Q2, I hope personally, we will start to see some sequential improvement. I really hope, maybe not of the fantastic magnitude that we have seen, but there is an underlying need for both the Aconino and the Infat products, definitively. And there is an underlying potential growth for such products, definitively. But again, please do not forget, the Q1 was extremely fantastic. And it will, in my personal opinion, take a little bit of time before we are back to that kind of fantastic performance.
Okay, thank you. And then another question on another matter regarding your previous acquisitions in Colombia and Belgium. Could you give us an update on how the integration has worked so far, if you can also, you know, what we should think about as far as 2015 goes?
I will start and then I will pass the microphone to Fredrik on the financial performance. But it's two very different acquisitions, as you know. In Belgium, it was the oils and fat part of CSM for Belgium, Holland, Netherlands, France, Spain to some degree and a little bit in different places, where part of the business we are producing for CSM because it's part of their one-stop shop distributor bakery ingredient business, but for industrial customers, and that's our focus, we took over the full business and the factory. And I believe personally, as always, when you acquire something from someone else that has not been really core business for that someone else, and that organization comes over into another organization where what they do is our business, it is not so difficult to create some good enthusiasm. And we see that here, and it was part of our speculations how this could be a good contribution, even if Western Europe maybe do not surface up on top of an acquisition priority list today and tomorrow. And from that, we are trying to sell the Merksem products in other parts of AAK. We have merged the sales forces. That West Europe sales force based in Merksem and in Sandijk outside Amsterdam is now also selling the CCF products. And we are leveraging the technical bakery skills in Merksem, and we are shuffling around a little bit with our manufacturing footprint between Merksem and some other Western European older AAK factories, and all that is on plan. However, the starting point was not exactly glamorous. That is also the reason why this M&A transaction produced material negative goodwill. So what can we expect financially from this in 2015, Fredrik?
No, I stick to what we have communicated earlier, that it will start to contribute during the second half of 2015. And then, of course, that will be with an EBIT per kilo that is much, much lower than the average for the whole food ingredients. And I think also a valid point is to say that it's not, on the other hand, it's not giving a negative EBIT either right now. It's more that it's a break-even business that will start to improve during the year.
And then the second half of the question, thank you, Fredrik, was Colombia. And here, this is also being integrated nicely. It reports into our North Latin America division. This is smaller, but it's basically the same concept. They had a product range, a good product range, and then we are trying to expand that sales force a bit and give them the other AAK products to work with as well, so to have it as a generalist semi-speciality hub for the Colombian market. And so far, both employees and local management and customers have reacted very positively. We have a number of customers in that not insignificant market that we know either from our Brazilian or our Mexican activity, who are interested in being serviced by AK or also in Colombia. So we are really on plans, but the financial effect of this is probably, to give space for maybe one or maybe two more questions, I would say financial comment to this acquisition is very similar to the CSM one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bilal.
And your next question comes from the line from Richard Koch from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask your question.
Hello, hello. I just wanted to come back to cocoa butter or chocolate division. To what extent do you believe that the chocolate producers are sort of maxed out on the non-cocoa products into chocolate so that they can still call it chocolate? And also, as a second question, could you clarify a bit more? I didn't quite understand why a lower cocoa butter price was good for you. When the cocoa butter price was going up, that was all sounding very positive to you, and now when it's back 30%, how is that cannot be good for pricing, but you mean that it's saving volumes, or could you clarify?
Thank you, Richard. Two good questions. I take the second first because it's the most obvious. You remember clearly after our Q3, or was it after our Q2, when we saw very, very, very high cocoa butter prices, we warned for that these might provoke negative price elasticity. Some large chocolate producers announced 8, 10, 12% price increases, and they saw sales increase but volume decrease. One do not need to be a chocolate expert to figure out in the bill of material of a chocolate producer how much is cocoa butter. Then you look upon their P&L and you find out how much of the P&L that is raw material, so of their total cost base, how much is cocoa butter. And then you look upon their EBIT or EBIT percentage. And then you can quickly figure out what happens to their already sometimes not very high EBIT, sometimes higher EBIT, with that high cocoa butter. Easy mathematics. So high cocoa butter price, good for us, but a balance. Please do that exercise. Look upon a typical recipe. I can help you with the recipe if you do not have it, and then look upon their total cost increase, what happens to the EBIT if they do not raise the prices, and then we can speculate how much they can raise the price before consumers in sometimes not very privileged part of the world, or sometimes in a suffering Eastern Europe or a suffering Western Europe. And we can guess negative price elasticity. So high cocoa butter price, good for us. Too high, less good for us than moderate high. Space for penetration, still large to very large. Difficult to estimate, but this is a slow-moving industry, as we know. As you know, there is different rules in different parts of the world also, but all in all, when we interact with our customers, we have a clear feeling that there is still large potential for more applications, more products moving into CBE. And we believe that will be needed because long term, the analysis is clear from the cocoa experts that will little by little, long term, be more and more deficit of cocoa in the world. But with swings up and down.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And your next question comes from the line from Patrick Zetterberg from Nordea Copenhagen. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. The first one, could you provide us with an update regarding the construction of your two factories in Brazil and China? That is my first question.
Hi, Patrick. Please take the second also, because Frederick is signaling here that this is maybe the last question we have.
Okay. My next question...
Then we see how we use the remaining time.
Yes. Then my second question is related to the chocolate division as well and the outlook you give for 2015. Could you elaborate a little bit on the visibility you have for the chocolate division for 2015? And then my last question is in terms of this product optimization in Europe. These 65 million you take in a quarter, is that having a full cash effect? That's it.
no cash effect until we do the programs. 65 million for the productivity. We have not disclosed when we do it, and the tax effect happens when we do it, and then we say payback is 6, 12, 18 months, say 12 months, but it's not in the near time. CCF, please notice that historically, typically, half of this division was CBE and half of this division was all the other products and some very important and. Typically, as you know, Patrick, we have good visibility of the CBE business with typically quite long contracts. The other part of the CCF division is more similar in its behavior to the FI divisions or main parts of the FI division. Definitely when the cocoa butter peaked and was uphill with strong slope and still, we have seen an increased interest. We have been in discussions, technical discussions with customers. We have been sending samples and. With an activity level higher than in the past. Some of that has materialized in customer contracts. Some of that remains to be evaluated and concluded upon. And then the other CCF business is SAM, the low-end side of it, very, very, very strong, nasty, unnice competitive pressure. And some with some good prospects. So we are optimistic, but again, from AAK, you will never hear forecasts and forward-looking statements that are too euphoric. That helps nobody. But a decent, stable, good improvement. And then finally, the two factories, we are on budget, we are on specification, we are on time, and the customer interest is high, and that looks really promising.
Okay, thank you.
And your last question comes from the line from Carsten Dehn from SEB Copenhagen. Please ask the question.
Hello, this is Carsten speaking. I just have one specific question, and that is regarding the EBIT per kilo if we adjust for the diluting impact you have from acquisitions.
Yes, that we have disclosed. That's 0.09 SEK per kilo in food ingredients.
No, I mean for the group in fourth quarter.
It's between around 4 euro.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for attending. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions. And we look forward to see at least some of you here in the next few months and quarters. So thank you very much, everybody, and have a great continued day. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.